This is our testimony to mankind. I think it's also to one another as believers, but also to unbelievers, right? These expressions are showing that God has fulfilled what he desired for the nation of Israel. He has done it in the body of Christ. But we're a mixture. We're from all different nations, but we are now a new nation. We're a holy nation, right? And our royalty is connected with who our Father is, and that is, in this sense, the Lord Jesus is who gives us this royal character. He is royalty, and we're his descendants as born of God, and we are royal as well. And in this capacity, we serve. We serve and represent him to mankind. So there is the holy character, which is more Godward, and the royal character, which is more manward, and they're both in the same person, you and I. We're both. We're not, these aren't two different people. And the role is important. The characteristics are important. They're reflecting the Lord Jesus. All of these things, holy, kingly or royal, separate from sinners, chosen race, beautiful expressions. And they all represent what we are in Christ.
It's interesting that the order is holy priesthood first, in order in the scriptures, and then royal priesthood. This is interesting.
So if I don't live as a holy priest and function as one, I will not be able to function as a royal priest. Because, again, it's not a matter of a show-off. As we have heard, it is a matter of a lifestyle as a holy priest that will qualify me, enable me to function as a holy priest in the presence of God. It is a lifestyle of a royal priest that will allow me and help me to function as a royal priest also in the presence of God and in the presence of men. Royalty is something that's sought after. Everybody wanted to be royal. Everybody wanted to be from, everybody read and studies and make movies about the royal families. You know, we Christian are. I wish somebody will think about us, we should think about ourselves this way and like talk about we are royal and strive to be like us. I wonder why not. Why are not people wanted to be like us? Because we are royal. You know, one would, you know, people would die just to live one day in Buckingham Palace and see the Queen or see what. We are royal. We are royals.
By birth. They were not always loyal.
I think the answer, Emil, is we one day will be seen this way. Exactly. We're not seen this way now.
But
in the manifestation.
Absolutely, but our striving ought to be to function with the dignity that God had put upon us here today, that we would act in that manner of belonging to this kingly race, because not have something I've done. It's again, a person who belonged to the royal family didn't work at it. He's born in that thing. But he ought to function, because two things come with that. It's a matter of privilege, but also it's a matter of responsibility. And there is a great responsibility, because you are watched. If I do something that's not really right or good, nobody pay attention much to it. But if a prince or somebody from the royal family does something that's not right, man, the whole newspaper, the whole everything was talking about it. Because there is a greater responsibility, because where is that person, what family he belonged to? And I think these are just illustrations that are real. We ought to characterize our life that we have that royal blood in us. Blue blood or whatever, but we have the blood of Christ. We have that royal blood in us. We have that royal life in us. And as he walked here, he was distinct in everything. And we ought to be the same way.
I believe Paul gave expression of this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, when he says, yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice, or if I be poured out as a drink offering, a sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So his service, his whole life, he was saying here, as being a drink offered, poured out upon this work, the saints of God, in the verses just before that. He prays for them that they may be presented. He said that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ." He was looking at this. This was the fruit of his toil, his labor, that they would be presented in that coming day. He says, that'll be, as it were, his whole life he was giving, that it would be as a drink offering poured on this, as a fragrance that went up, his whole life.
So could it be that we as saints don't value how we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light enough? If we lose touch with that in our daily life, don't spend time with the Lord and his word and prayer, we will lose that character of being royal priests. And it's sad, but I think it's happening actually quite rapidly. We ought to be wakened up by this study. We need to wake up. Paul says this: "Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and the Christ shall give thee light." We need this today.
Do you also think it's a challenge of us with unbelief?
Yeah.
Could be partly that as well, that we have to believe what God is saying. Amen. It hasn't been manifested yet, but we have to take it by faith.
Amen. But he begins, I was encouraged by the fact what we are speaking of now, we're not there when we got first saved. There's room for growth. And that's what he's saying in the first verses, that ye may grow thereby. So he realizes we're babes when we were first saved. But there's something in us, in the babe. There's a freshness there. Now he says, I want you to grow. And this is what's happening by us sitting here together.
And what's also nice about that is that in our growth, I would say it this way, you can't exceed this character. That is to say, there are not some who are considered really great priests and some who are okay priests. And, you know, not in our growth, we attain to this because we are it. And I was thinking of Paul and Barnabas, the examples often given of how they display both of these characteristics. Paul and Barnabas, they were no greater than this, holy priests and royal priests. There they are in the prison in Philippi, and at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. You might say they're giving thanks to his name. Here they are in terrible circumstances, and they're carrying out the function of holy priests. And that's not unattainable to us. We can grow to that same stature. We can function in the same way, to, in terrible circumstances even, give thanks to God. That's offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to him through Jesus Christ. Then it says the prisoners heard them. And all that transpired from that moment on, you might say, is their exercise of a royal priesthood. They're acting like royal priests. The prisoners heard them. And the earth shakes, and when the jailer fears for his life, probably when he said, "What must I do to be saved?" he might have meant his physical life. And they took the opportunity. Well, there's something more than your physical life you should be concerned about. But there's an answer. There's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And they are proclaiming the praises of the one who had called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the jailer and the slave girl start the church gathering in Philippi. What a unusual group of people. Lydia, a rich woman, and this Roman jailer, and this slave girl previously possessed, they are the first three, you might say, of converts, and then the Philippian jailer's family, and so on. But Paul and Silas were so advanced, we might feel, when we look at their character, but their advancement is only one of experience and a measure of faith. They're not advancing beyond anything that is not also part of our capacity as we also grow to use what God has given to us in this character.